Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, January 8th, 2023, Romans.
All right, I hope you enjoy Christmas music. Don't tell me Christmas already passed. We have Christmas every day at Upland Bible Church. And we're going to have Christmas music at least two more weeks. And I would have it all year long. Harlan back here puts his Christmas tree up and stays up all year long, 365 days, because it's too damn hard to take it down and put it back up again. So he has a Christmas tree every day in his house. I love Christmas music, and of course, that was the last song was Josh Groban, and he has a phenomenal voice in presenting that hymn. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And as is our custom in this local church, we give you a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. We studied the first paragraph in Romans 5, 1 through 5, the results of justification. And now in the rest of Romans chapter 5, we have four much more. In Romans 5, 6 through 9, we have the much more of justification. In Romans 5, 10 through 12, we have the much more of reconciliation. And then we have the great paragraph in verses 13 to 17. And so we have the parenthetical much more. And then in Romans 5, 18 to 21, we have the much more of grace. We are in Romans 5, 6 through 9, the much more of justification. Let's start at verse 6, corrected translation. For while we were still weak, this is describing mankind in the status of being an unbeliever. For if while we were still weak, that is powerless and helpless and hopeless, yet Christ died, this is his spiritual death on the cross, as a substitute for the ungodly, all unbelievers, at the exact right time. Verse 7. Indeed, very rarely will anyone die in behalf of a righteous person, someone with human virtue and honor. Indeed, possibly in behalf of a good person, someone might even be brave enough to die. But, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love, his virtue love, specifically his impersonal love for all, the whole human race, to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on behalf of us, as a substitute for us. Verse 9. Certainly, much more, the first much more, certainly much more, or with stronger reason, because we have now been justified, declared righteous, by means of his blood, faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross, we will be delivered by the agency of him, Christ, from the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? From eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. The first much more places the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the one and only Savior. In the true humanity of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, he had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. His personal love for God the Father was the great motivating virtue that motivated him to willingly go to the cross and fulfill the incarnation plan of God the Father. His personal love for God the Father motivated him to have impersonal love for the whole world and go to a cross and receive the imputation of our personal sins and the judgment on them. His impersonal love for all mankind on the cross was directed toward us while we were ungodly, verse 6, sinners, verse 8, his enemies, verse 10. In other words, while we were at our worst in spiritual death and total depravity, if Christ from his virtue love willingly went to the cross for his enemies, how much more will he deliver his royal family, justified ones, from the lake of fire? Because we are justified by his blood, faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross, we will be delivered from the lake of fire. So again, verse 9, certainly much more, with stronger reason, because we have now been justified, declared righteous, by means of his blood, faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross, we will be delivered by the agency of him, Christ, from the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. Now I listen to people. Everybody would like to believe that there is a heaven. And God says a lot about heaven in the scriptures. Nobody wants to believe that there is a lake of fire, but there is a lake of fire. And the word of God, God has a lot to say about the lake of fire and eternal condemnation and judgment. And there are even some believers who say, well, I can't believe that. Well, then you're saying God is a liar. And that's blasphemy. If God lies about what he says about eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire, then why believe him in anything he says? But God is not a man that he should lie. God is veracity. He's absolute truth. Everything he says is absolute truth. Not only is he absolute truth, veracity, but the Word of God is absolute truth, veracity. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them by means of the truth. Thy word is absolute truth, aletheia. So, yes, there is a lake of fire. Yes, there will be angels and human beings in that lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And we have been given a ministry. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry of reconciliation is you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of telling other unbelievers the good news about Jesus Christ and how they can have eternal salvation, the gift of eternal life, the imputed righteousness of God, and live with God forever and ever in heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. But we have a free will to believe in Jesus Christ, free will to reject Jesus Christ. But you have the ministry of reconciliation. And one of the greatest motivations, when you realize that this ministry has been given to you, that encourages and motivates you. God will open the door. You're a prepared congregation. God will use you. God will open doors for you everywhere you go, giving you the opportunity to present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the thought in my own mind, I wouldn't want to see anybody, not anybody, in eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And if when God opens the door for me, I jump through. Yes, sir. And there are people I've given the gospel to that, frankly, a lot of people would say, I hope they go to hell. You know, they were the worst of the worst. God opened the door to me and some of those people, and I realized what he had done, given me the opportunity, and I presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. Have you ever thought about what it's like? People that have even burned to death in fires, and all that goes on, the horrible screaming and everything that goes on, and being burned to death. On the lake of fire, you burn and keep burning, and tremendous suffering for all eternity. That motivates, ought to motivate you to present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at what the Bible actually says about the lake of fire. The doctrine of the lake of fire. Point one is definition. The lake of fire is the final destination for both fallen angels and unbelieving mankind. The lake of fire is the final destination for both fallen angels and unbelieving mankind. Two, it is both literal and eternal. It is both literal and eternal. Three, it was originally prepared for Satan and his angels. This was long before man was ever created. The Lord Jesus Christ created the angels. They were all created perfect. Just as Adam and the woman in the garden were created perfect. And then they had a free will. The angels had a free will. Satan was the covering cherub that guarded the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he rebelled against God through arrogance and fell. And with his fall, one third of the angels joined him in the revolution against God. God, in his holiness, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, judged him and said he would spend eternity in the lake of fire. Satan rebelled against that. So Jesus Christ created man to resolve the angelic conflict. But the lake of fire was originally prepared for Satan and his angels. Turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, will also say to those on his left, all unbelievers in human history, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So Matthew 25:41, the lake of fire was originally prepared for Satan and his angels, the fallen angels. Point four. Unbelievers also go there. All unbelievers throughout human history who die in the status of being an unbeliever, they will also go to the lake of fire. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. Whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's uniquely born Son. Being condemned is eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. Look over at verse 36. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. The wrath of God remaining on him is eternal condemnation and judgment. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Just as man, and man here is all unbelievers, just as man, unbelieving mankind, is destined to die once, physical death, and then after that, to face judgment, the second death, the lake of fire. So unbelievers will also go to the lake of fire. Two, point two, the first occupants of the lake of fire will be the beast in Revelation, who is the Antichrist, and the false prophet of the tribulation. The first occupants of the lake of fire will be the beast or the Antichrist of the tribulation and the false prophet. Revelation 19, 19 and 20. Revelation 19, 19 and 20. Revelation 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast is the Antichrist of the tribulation. We're living in the church age. The tribulation begins after the end of the church age. And what is the end? The rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. The church age goes from Pentecost to the rapture. We're living in the church age. We're not living in the tribulation. I know some of you think we're living in the tribulation. We're not living in the tribulation now. The church age concludes with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, and then the tribulation begins, and it goes 7 years until the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. And in the tribulation, there'll become a one world ruler. And he is called in Revelation the beast. He is the Antichrist. And it says, and I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies. They've all assembled in the valley of Megiddo to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. Satan is extremely anti-Semitic. His objective is to win the angelic conflict, and if he can destroy every Jew from the earth, he wins. And he has all the armies of the world assembled together in the Valley of Megiddo to try to destroy all the Jews. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast, the Antichrist, was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And those two, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, those two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So the first occupants of the lake of fire will be the beast, the Antichrist of the tribulation, and the false prophet. Revelation 19, 19 and 20. Point three. The devil will also be in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So is the lake of fire only partial, only a week, a month, forever and ever? So the first occupants of the lake of fire will be the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet of the tribulation, Revelation 19, 19 and 20. The devil will also be in the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 10. Point four, at the end of human history, after the great white throne judgment, all unbelievers of the human race will be cast into the lake of fire. We're living in the church age. God has set out a plan for the world. We're living in the church age, Pentecost to the rapture, following the rapture, 7-year tribulation period, and then the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. He establishes his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. At the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth, that's the end of human history. And that's when all unbelievers are removed out of torments and come before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Now you say, well, why do you call it the great white throne judgment? Good question. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. There you go. Well, that wasn't very hard to answer, was it? And I saw a great white throne, and him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead. This is all unbelievers of human history, great and small, standing before the throne, the great white throne with Jesus Christ sitting on it. And books were opened, plural. Notice, books, plural, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. Now, in the book of life, everyone, every member of the human race is in that book of life when you start out. We all start out in the book of life. If you die without believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out. Your name is blotted out of the book of life. For those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, your name remains in the book of life. So here are all these unbelievers. They died without believing in Christ. Their name is not in the book of life. It was blotted out. When they died without believing in Christ, their name was blotted out. The book's plural is all the works, the good works of unbelievers. All the good works. Not their sins, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all their sins on the cross. Unlimited atonement. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and judged all those sins in Jesus Christ once and for all. Sin is not an issue. These books have all of their good deeds, all the good things they did. And when they add up all those good things that they did, you might do 1,000,000 good deeds. When you add that all up, it's still minus R. And to live with Jesus Christ forever, you must have the righteousness of God. And that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. And the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you and declares you justified, declares you righteous. But here are all unbelievers, and all they have is minus R. And these books, plural, have all of their, well, we'll see here, kata ta erga, all of their good deeds. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead, all these unbelievers, were judged from the things that were written in the books, plural, kata ta erga, according to their good deeds, human good deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, kata ta erga, not according to their sins, according to their deeds, works, according to their works. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So after the great white throne judgment, and you know I've listened to people that make fun of God and make fun of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. And they make fun of all of that. And they're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And they will be given a fair trial. Not one sin will be mentioned because Christ paid the penalty for all their sins. God has made in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't desire anyone to wind up in the lake of fire, but that all come to repentance. What is repentance? A change of thinking about Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And they're going to be there before Jesus Christ. Not one sin will be mentioned because He paid the penalty for all their sins. Just all of their katata erga, all of their works. And when they add up all those works, it's minus R. And to live with God forever, you must have the righteousness that comes from God. And that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. So point five. Unbelievers are pulled out of the fire and torments of Hades to come before the great white throne and the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged and then cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 13 to 15, Revelation 21, verse 8. Now this is a very important doctrine to understand. And as royal family of God, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, what a privilege you have to tell others the good news of the gospel, the grace gospel, so that they can have an opportunity to live with God forever in heaven and not wind up in the lake of fire. This is what motivated me in, well, so many ways, with my family. I gave the gospel to my father over and over and over again. My mother was a believer. My mom married an unbeliever. My mom was the only believer in our family. And then between my junior and senior years of high school, my football coach, who I truly loved and had greatest respect for, he said, "Dick, I'd love to have you go to this camp up in Canada. It's called Malibu. It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go." He didn't tell me anything about it. He said, "It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go." I said, "Okay, greatest week of my life, I'll go." So I went, and I had no idea it was a camp where, a Christian camp. And the very first night, the fella got up and started talking about God and the Bible. And several things. First of all, I couldn't believe that my coach, who I respected so much, would send me to a camp that's talking about God and the Bible. And then I got mad. And then I just did about everything. I committed about every category of sin you could commit the next 24 hours. And then the next night, the fella got up and he said, "Before a man can come to know God, he has to know, first of all, what we are like." And he was going through Galatians 5, and he went through Galatians 5, all these sins. And I had done just about every one of those. In fact, I thought somebody had gone and tattled on me. Then he says, "Then you have to know what God is like." and you gave the fruit of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And against these things there is no law. And then he gave the gospel. He said, if you simply believe in Jesus Christ, he paid the penalty for all your sins. If you simply believe in him, he comes to live in you, and you are entered into union with him. And then, this is what is produced in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Well, I believed in Christ right there. I went back to my cabin and prayed. I was already saved, but I wanted to make sure God got through in case his hearing wasn't too good. And I said over and over and over again, I believe in Jesus Christ. 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 You know. And I came home, and now there were two believers in our family. My mom and me. I didn't think I was doing anything any different than before. And my mom at breakfast said, what happened at that camp? I said, well, Mom, I wanted to tell somebody, but I'm a Christian. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she started to cry. She said, I've been praying for you and all the kids all along that you believe in Christ. And she says, everybody knows something happened to you because they come to me. Your brothers and sister come to me. What happened to Richard? He's nice to us now. I said, Mom, I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, I didn't realize I was doing anything. What was that? That was the fruit of the Spirit. Even though I was a baby believer, that was the fruit of the Spirit right there. It was such a contrast. Well, I went to Washington State University. I thought I was going there to run track, but that wasn't I did. But God brought me to Washington State University because there was a fantastic local church there. One of the best local churches in the United States of America. And I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, well, my brother Don, he was there. He was there on a football scholarship, playing football for Wazoo. And I had learned enough about God and his plan and heaven and hell. I didn't, as much as my brother and I fought, I didn't want to see him go to hell. So I had him come to my room and I said, Don, are you a Christian? He goes, I don't know, I think so. I said, you think so? You don't know? Well, before a football game, I pray to God I don't get hurt. I said, well, that's great, but that doesn't get you into heaven. And I gave him the gospel. And he believed in Jesus Christ right there in my room. And he, after he believed in Christ, he looked at me. He said, now what do I do? Well, I said, what do you mean now what do I do? He said, I just believed in Jesus Christ. I said, well, you want to come to church with me? He said, sure. And then I gave the gospel to my brother Mike, and he believed in Christ, and my sister Judy, and my brother Dave. And the whole Olson family was revolutionized and believed in Christ. Except my dad. I love my dad very much, but I didn't want to see him spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I would give him the gospel and give him the gospel and give him the gospel. And one time he was in his room, bedroom, smoking a cigarette. And I came in and sat down next to him. I said, Dad, how you doing? He goes, I don't know what kind of a world I brought you boys into. I think this world's going to self-destruct. I said, well, Dad, God's got a fantastic plan. And if you simply believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be with Him forever and ever in heaven. He says, no, I know I'm too bad. I'm going to go to... And my dad believed that there was a lake of fire. I know I'm going to go to hell. I know I'm going to be down there with a lot of my friends. I said, well, Dad, you are halfway to heaven already. You have 1 foot in heaven. Because you know that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all those sins that you think are so bad. He paid the penalty for all of them. If you simply believe in Him, you will live with Him forever and ever in heaven. And my father was the last of the Olson Heakins that believed in Jesus Christ. But as I grew in the Word of God and understood the ministry of reconciliation, and the more I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, I would see God open doors everywhere. I don't care if I was on an airplane. I don't care if here in Las Vegas, in a casino. God would open the door to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that this is something that, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. So one, in Romans 5, 6 through 9, we have the much more of justification. Now in the next paragraph, Romans 5, 10 through 12, we'll have the much more of reconciliation. But in Romans 5, 6 through 9, we have the much more of justification. 2. If God did the greatest thing by saving us when we were spiritually dead, totally depraved, when we were His enemies, when we were at our worst, if God did the greatest thing by saving us, eternal salvation, justification by means of His blood, then it follows with stronger reason that He can do the less, and that is deliver us, His royal family, from the lake of fire. If God did the greatest thing by saving us when we were at our worst, it follows with stronger reason that He can do the less and deliver us from the lake of fire as His royal family. 3. Providing salvation for us while we were ungodly, sinners, His enemies. That was the greatest thing God could do for us. Providing salvation for us while we were ungodly, sinners, His enemies. That was the greatest thing He could do for us. Four, now that we have God's imputed righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, now that we have God's imputed righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith in Christ, much more can He deliver His royal family with His imputed righteousness from eternal condemnation and judgment. Now that we have God's imputed righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith in Christ, much more can He deliver His royal family with His imputed righteousness from eternal condemnation and judgment. So again, verse 9, certainly much more, with stronger reason, because we have now been justified, declared righteous, by means of his blood, faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross, we will be delivered by the agency of him, Christ, from the wrath of God, from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. All right, we'll take a break. Come back in about 15 minutes or so for part 2.